Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 89, Craig Maxwell. Craig is that guy that you knew the minute you met him that you're going to be friends. You know, he's just that guy. Real deal. Down to earth, honest, open, a little vulnerable, which I kind of like to see, and just all around great guy. And I think this episode is, I think this is representative of a lot of people that I've met in Facebook. Just great people want to better themselves, to be able to give to others. And in this case, it's Craig has a large family, and he's there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He is present in his family. How many of us could say that we're always present? Not me. I wish I was. Wish I always was, but I haven't been. So it's just great to see it. It's a great interview. Let's get into podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest, we were just hanging out together yesterday, prior to the podcast, and yet we've known each other, I guess it's coming up on a year and a half, 2 years, and we've been talking a little bit here and there. I see him a lot of events, I see a lot of comments, but I've seen the growth, in his business and his strategy, and it's just, it's really, really impressive. Welcome, Craig Maxwell. Welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Stephen. I'm glad to be here.
And I really appreciate it. It was so great seeing you, and I've seen you a bunch of different places. You clearly get the concept that you need to surround yourself with strong sellers, strong business people, strong like-minded people to, you know, bounce ideas off. I mean, is that fair?
Oh, yeah. You know, for me, there's so many smart people out there, way smarter than I am. And, you know, I love growing my business, and so I try to glean as much as I can from everybody, and I like to hang out with people, and I like to chat and talk and hopefully contribute back. But so I try to surround myself with as many smart people as I can.
Well, I saw you working the crowd. You made it a point to talk to almost everyone in the place, just like I did, because I agree with you. You will learn something from everyone. Everyone has something to offer. You know, and sometimes it's so obvious to them, you're so close to it, you can't see it. And they're like, oh, why don't you just do this? And you're like, oh, my God, I've been racking my brain for days over this thing. And you're like, that's it?
Yeah.
You agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of those moments.
So you weren't always an e-commerce seller. I was saying ace. You weren't always an e-commerce seller. Where did you get started?
Well, the first for my professional career, the first 20 years, I was in full-time church Christian ministry. And
is that what your degree was in?
Yes, I went to a Bible school in Chicago, and I was in youth ministry for quite a bit of time. But mostly the focus was in missions. I led, you know, youth and adults on mission trips all over the world, and I was a missions pastor the last 8 years of my ministry career. And over that span of 20 years, you know, I got to travel the world. I hit 62 different countries, and it was fantastic opportunity and very fulfilling.
So 62 countries in 20 years. Did so you've seen the poorest of the poor, the destitute of the destitute, right? I mean, we have no frame of reference in the United States. Our poor is poor,
right?
But you've seen, you know, dirt everything.
Explain. Yes, I've seen poverty beyond imagination, and it wrecks you. It really wrecks you. And I spent time. I slept in the same villages as these people. And, you know, one of the things I tell a lot of people when they ask about, you know, what was the most powerful experience? And I spent one time about 10 days in the middle of Sudan in a village. And when I came home, I had nightmares for weeks. And it really was because I didn't just see the poverty, but I spent the time with those people. And I knew some of them were going to die within the next year because it was so bad. And it was a very war-torn area. And so, yeah, it's amazing, and I feel very blessed every time I came back home that I got to be born in this country and grow up and, you know, what I consider one of the greatest places in the world.
You know, I've heard that from a lot of people, that you really need to go and see or experience something else to appreciate what you have. Now, were you taking youth to some of these? Obviously not the ones with war, right?
Right.
But, I mean, you still were taking youth to places. Like, I think of my younger son, he's been to Haiti, you know, and rebuilding a school and that kind of thing. And, you know, the stuff he described is incredible. So a very impressionable young mind, and exposing him to that stuff I think gives him a frame of reference for his own gratitude.
Yeah. And, you know, I got my start when I was a teenager. I went on a mission trip. It was 8 weeks, and it was across Europe. And we did, you know, we stayed in campgrounds, and we did street theater to draw crowds and share with them what we believed. And it was amazing. And then the next kind of year, I went on a more challenging environmental trip, you know, where we were in India and China and some of the, you know, really poor places.
As a youth?
Right. Well, at that point, I was in college, early college.
Okay.
And just a young guy then. And so, yeah, we did take some of the youth into some pretty tough and rough places. I don't think their lives were ever in danger, of course. Probably the more dangerous trips I took is when we were with – it was just adults, like the Sudan. I would never take a teenager there or anything like that. But but it was amazing. Changed my life going on those trips as a high schooler and college student.
Now, do you have children?
Yes, I have 6 children.
Whoa. Okay, so you got that. So would you encourage – knowing what you know now, would you encourage them, or do you encourage them to take the same track about mission trip?
Yes. I mean, I want them to be older. You know, my oldest is just 12.
Okay, so it's a little young, right, yet. Yes, so it's a little hard to do. Well, let's play it forward. Would you – I mean, is that your plan, is to introduce them to that kind of opportunity to grow the way that you grew?
I think so, yes. I would like to actually experience it with them.
Oh, cool.
I would like to use my experience, and, you know, my hope is at some point to take my children with me. I want them to see how most of the world lives, and for them to realize how good they have it. And, you know, and very much one of the reasons I'm doing what I do now is, for me, it's very much a lifestyle business, and so that we can pour into our kids and do some of the things that we've always wanted to do with them. And so I'm hoping at some point we can do that. And, you know, I guess a lot of it's going to be up to my wife, of course, if she'll let me take them as those places.
Well, I've seen your post about working from home. So explain, do you have a big warehouse that you drive off to every day?
No. Okay. And I'm trying to avoid that. I just saw an amazing warehouse today, and for Sam Cohen's warehouse, and it was mind-boggling. And it is easy to get stars in my eyes when I see that and think someday I want that. But honestly, the joy I get from just working at home, my wife homeschools our kids, and so I get to be there and invest in their lives and be a part of that. You know, my oldest children, actually some of my younger ones, will chip in and help, and I feel like I get to teach them a trade while I'm working from home. And so, you know, the challenge for me, the goal is I want to continue to grow this business. I want to scale it, and I want to scale it, and I want to scale it, but I want to figure out how to do it by staying at home.
Right. You're going to design it around your lifestyle. The business gets to run. Well, you know, we just saw Monica Busby, and she was talking about e-commerce kids, right? And so the concept is to teach a trade. I mean, it really is a trade. In the old days, right, when we were kids, they would teach a trade, right? You go to a trade school, you'd go to, back in that day, they had a Votech, and those kids way, way back were kind of the troubled kids. And then eventually they started trading into real skills. There's not as many going into them. So could you imagine e-commerce as a skilled trade and teaching kids that early on?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm really passionate about it, honestly, because for me, working in ministry, while it was rewarding as an occupation, it was a struggle for us as a family, because I never really was paid very well or paid enough to provide for a family our size. And so, you know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, if I would have had something like I'm doing now, you know, it would have been incredible for me to have that skill, that trade, to be able to use that to supplement our income. And one of the things, you know, in I read one of the books. Actually, I've read a lot of them, Rich Dad Poor Dad books. And whether you like the guy or not, or think he's, you know, quality or not, there were some great points that I pulled out of it. And one of them was just talking about, you know, telling my kids, like, do you want to, you know, work at a Walmart or, you know, wait tables your whole life? You know, do you want to work for someone else, or do you want to be in control of your financial future, of your occupation? And if those are the things you want to do, that's great. But I want to try to equip them that they have a plan B, they have something to fall back on, you know, maybe while they're in college, or, you know, maybe when they get married and they're a young couple and they're struggling financially, like so many couples do, that they have this skill that they can recall and use. And hopefully, you know, I'm teaching them a thing or two as we go along. And if I can give that gift to them, you know, I feel like as a parent, I've done something right.
I just heard this within the last month, and it resonates so strongly with me. I need an income, not a job. And if you think about that, right, if you sit back and you think about what income needs are, right, need, I use the word need, not want, or not whatever. And if you want a real true lifestyle, you basically figure out how much money you need to live, right, and to do what you want to do. Then you find something you love that will supplement that, right, and as much of it as you can. And if it's not enough, then you find something else you add on, and you add on until you get to where you want to be. That wasn't taught to us when we were in school, was it? It was, you know, go to school, go to college, get a job, work there for 30 years, get a pension, retire at, you know, 65 or whatever, and then move to Florida, right?
Right.
And, you know, wear boat shoes, as George what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's really industrial age thinking in a lot of ways. I mean, that's what we were told. Grow up, get a job with security, you know, and benefits. And I don't think the world operates that way anymore. You're getting your benefits taken from you. And honestly, I realized now that I do this, and, you know, and we could talk about my experience with this, but I've never had more job security than I have now.
I mean, think about that. You said that to me yesterday or the day before. Say it again.
Well, you know, part of my story and my pain really is I was fired at one point. I left ministry and to try to go seek something where I could provide better for my family. I went to work for a small business in my area, and it was one of the most eight miserable months of my life working for this person, these people. It didn't end up being what I thought it would be, what they said it would be. And eventually they actually let me go. And, you know, the first thing I dealt with was the pain of it. It was painful. It was,
you failed, right? Yeah. You failed. Well, and now I'm a failure, right? Now I haven't failed at anything.
Right.
Yeah. It's awful.
And, I felt like, you know, I'll never get a job again. And, you know, and the hard part is I didn't feel like I had done anything wrong. You know, my whole life, you know, one of the things I pride myself in is I work hard. I'm a hard worker. And, you know, and so there was dealing with what I felt like injustice. And, you know, for 2 days I was a wreck. You know, I remember one morning I couldn't get out of bed. I was devastated. And how am I going to provide for these children I have? You know, we had five children. We had one due in a month, and it was scary. And now, fast forwarding, you know, I started doing Amazon, and I look back and I think the reason why I feel like I have more security is I get to set how high I go. I get to determine when I work. I get to determine how much I'm going to make at some point, and I get to determine how to provide for my family. And it's not relying on someone else that, on the, you know, blink of an eye, can let me go and put me out on the street. And so doing this, and, you know, there's so many things that have come out of this that I just love with what I do now, is the freedom that I feel. And
it's empowering.
It is. It really is. And I never want to go back if I can help it. You know, I never want to go back and put myself and my family in that situation where I'm under someone else's responsibility that doesn't care as much about these people that, you know, that are my entire life. And so if I can help, and that's, there's nothing wrong with people that want to have jobs or work for other people. But for me, I've just discovered it's not a good fit anymore. And I want to take responsibility and control of that if I can, you know.
Well, and if you think about it, right, so when you were working for the church, and the church is a business, there's a part of the church that's a business, but not all of the church is a business. So it's different, right? Working for them, there's a reward, you know, even if they don't tell you well done, it's when you help someone, it's a job well done, right? So that's one way. But when you work in any kind of other sector, right, it is what can you do for me today? Or what haven't you, you know, or why haven't you done this for me today? It can be. I'm not saying all companies are that way.
Right.
And that's so different. So you had not experienced that. You went into that. Don't you think, though, that you needed to go into that to get the determination? I mean, I'm sure it was there, but to get sharpened, don't you think that could have been you had to go there? You know where I'm going?
Well, you know, and I really believe, yes, I would agree. I believe, I mean, I wouldn't wish the experience of the pain on anyone. I mean, it was painful. And, you know, ministry had its painful moments too. And
sure.
And I don't, you know, want to slight the church or ministry. I admire people that serve, and it was very hard. And there was a lot of painful moments, but I think it's through pain and struggle that where we get our greatest growth. And, you know, those 8 months of misery, I'm sure were, in some ways, as I look back now, you know, those were churning fires in me, or, you know, I don't know, fanning flames. And, you know, now every year, and I think this is where, you know, you had told me that I shared my story on Facebook and some of the groups, Jim Cockrum's group and stuff, and the ACE group. But I just, you know, every year on the day of my firing, I like to share my story, because that's a celebration now for me. It's my emancipation, you know, it's my freedom. And you're right, I think I had to go through some of those fires, because there is nothing more motivating than things like, you know, if I don't do this, we don't eat. If I don't do this, I have to go back into that environment again. And, you know, that's what motivates me every day. I don't want to do that.
You know? Well, it's not, and it's not this, you're not proving them wrong. You're proving you right. It wasn't you. I mean, you had the skills and the ability to do the work. You're not afraid to work. I've met you. I mean, I can see that. So whatever the environment was, it wasn't right or whatever,
right.
But it wasn't you. And I think that's what you're proving.
Right.
And to me, that's a pretty cool thing, you know. So, hey, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your business and where it's going. Well, where it's been, where it's going, and what you think the future is. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com. For more information, that's SellerEssentials.com.
Told you, great guy, great story. You know, Craig and I met face-to-face again down in New Jersey at the ACE conference, and Craig is a member there. And we got talking about the value of those relationships and the tutoring that he would describe that he's getting. And he speaks the most highly of what he's been able to get from that group and several other groups. And I think that, you know, again, if you're not in a group, if you're not with other like-minded people, you really need to rethink your strategy. And it's not because they're going to, you know, there's going to be an epiphany and the clouds are going to open or whatever, but there are times you just like to talk about this stuff with someone else. And having that relationship with somebody you can talk to with honesty and not worry about them undermining your, you know, your business, it's a big deal. I think Craig has figured that out and has really taken advantage of it. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back and we're talking with Craig Maxwell. And Craig is I'm not calling him a mega seller, but he's a very successful seller. And just watching his growth over the last couple of years is just impressive. And I think it's inspiring because, again, you've proven to yourself that, you know, you can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and do the work, which you always could do, and it wasn't an environmental. I think a lot of people go through those things, Craig, and it's sometimes a bad marriage. It's a bad job, which is a marriage in some ways, because you're there so much, if you think about it, right? You're there more than your home sometimes,
sure.
Right? And you start to doubt. You lose hope. And I always say that that's the worst part of anything. When you lose hope, that despair, this allows you to have a little success, a little bit, and you're all of a sudden, wow, I've got a little bit of hope because you mean I buy this and I can sell this? I have some hope. You know what I mean? It sounds so simple, but it really is a very rewarding type of endeavor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we talked a little bit about my previous career, and it was very rewarding, very fulfilling. And but I've told my wife often that I've never felt more fulfilled, or at least not in the last 10, 15 years, than I have doing this. And I don't know why necessarily. I don't know if it's because I get to create my own thing, or maybe I'm just in my sweet spot. You know, I'm in my my element, in my zone. And so there is. You're absolutely right, Stephen.
Does that mean you can't serve the church, though? You walked away and you can never go back in some way?
No, and, you know, and I'm open to that. You know, in being in ministry, you know, I personally feel like it's very much a calling. And I still get to serve in my church, and I just get to serve from the other side of the table now. And this, you know, when we talk about lifestyle business, this has provided opportunities for us to be involved in church and in things we believe in and causes that we couldn't do before, and because of some of the financial freedom that has come with it. And so that's wonderful for us, and we love that, and some of the things we've always dreamt of doing and couldn't, and now we're in a position to do some of those things. And so it's super exciting, and, you know, I get to serve, like I said, from the other side of the table, and I don't have to deal with some of the insider politic kind of things, the business side that goes on in a church, which, you know, I'm relieved to do that, and to let someone else do that for now.
And you know, you sit back and you think, you're I believe the third, and maybe the fourth, but third for sure, someone who came from the ministry, who now serves in the ministry the way they want to serve in the ministry. And they seem to get more effect mm-hmm. in the church because they're not slumped down in the business, as you say. They're really able to affect so much more of what they want to. And I think that's very, very
right.
cool, because I think, you know, let's face it, if you're not 100% in on everything, it shows. People see it, and it affects people, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're 100% in on this little piece, because this is what you're good at and what you want to do and where you can bring the most gifts, that's amazing, because that piece is going to be done so well. And I believe you're the third person to tell me the same thing. And again, it wasn't that they failed or anything like that. They just realized that 100% doing 80 different things doesn't work. 100% at one or two things really, really works
right.
well.
And I don't, you know, and I hope I definitely don't come across negative towards
yeah.
my experience, because
I
admire so much people that do it. My dad is a pastor. You know, people I know, ministry is hard work, and the expectations are unbelievable. And I'm glad to be able to now support that and support, you know, the pastor that I have now, because I know some of the struggles he goes through. And so, it's just a different season for me now, and I'm grateful for it.
You can almost fill in the gaps a little bit, because you know what the gaps are,
right on.
You know, and I think that's very cool. So, well, let's talk about your business. So you're are you selling on any other platforms? Or are you really focused on FBA, Amazon?
I would say 95% FBA, Amazon at this point.
And so, you know, when you think about all the other channels out there, what's not attractive? Because, you know, there was some talk this weekend. We were at a conference, an ACE conference down in New Jersey, and I think two speakers following me talked about, you know, having different, you know, baskets with different revenue streams, because, you know, you don't want to have all your apple or all your eggs in one basket, I think was the phrase. And so how come you haven't deviated out in those other channels at this point?
Well, so to clarify, I do have some other revenue streams that are not involved in selling things or selling products, but I do use eBay some. I do like eBay, But mostly, it's just been I felt like I did try to spread out, earlier in my Amazon selling career. You know, it hasn't been that long, but, in the first year. And I just found that I became less effective in all areas because I wasn't at that point yet. I tried doing Amazon UK, and I had some success with it. But I just realized I still am at the point where it doesn't matter how much stuff I buy, I run out of money here in the U.S. to send it in there. You know, like I think I'm pretty far away from getting to the point where I need another channel because I can't sell things fast enough here. And I'm just does that make sense?
No, it's a great point because as I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I just read this somewhere where somebody's like, look, you know, if you're having success doing what you're doing, just do more of it, right? Rather than, you know, the shiny object, right, running over and jumping on this and jumping on that because everybody else says that you should, you get to focus better at what you're doing and run out of stuff to buy, right? When you run out of stuff to buy and you have so much more money than time – then it's worth moving on. I think it's sound advice. And, you know, I'm on both sides of it. You know, I mean, I agree that you have to have a B plan, but it sounds like you already do. But I do think that you really have to master the one that you're in. And as I always say, you need to learn what not to buy. And that takes time. You can't instantly have success. You know, I think about some of the guys that I met at this conference, and there was a couple of young fellows who have had their account shut down twice already.
Right.
And I think about why, and, you know, I get it, you know, but there's so much to learn and they got it back and they made it right. I mean, so I don't want to say that, but I think part of the problem is when you go all in so fast, so you don't pay attention to the details. And quite frankly, the details are what's going to get your account shut down.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's not to say I don't want to expand to other platforms. I do. I really do. I just feel like I may not be there yet, and I'm having, you know, in my little world, what feels like wild success with Amazon.com, and but I would like to take more advantage of eBay. I see the value in expanding, and I definitely have the same fear that most people that do this have is getting shut down or that having that taken away from me, and so you know I have tried to branch out in other areas. You know, I'm trying to use now the skills that I've learned. I've been coaching people and which is a nice little income stream that I use to actually build my Amazon business with. And so it's been, I definitely understand the wisdom of that. And, you know, I hear that at the conference, you know, people talk and I'm like, yeah, it's so true. And I need to be careful. And so, and that needs to be a part of my plan in the future. And it is, I just have to get to that point, you know?
Right. I think it's not trepidation, your pause, right? You're thinking it through. You're saying, no, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm going to keep getting where I want to be. And I think that that's not a bad move at all. So, you know, you're a member of ACE, Amazon Consulting Expert, Sam Cohen's group, paid a lot of money for that service. And, you know, I think about this, you know, and I think about what you told me, the value that you got from it. So talk about it. I don't get any benefits.
Right,
so
sure.
You know, I'll be clear, make sure everybody understands. I don't benefit in any way. But I must admit, as I've always said, is that Sam has over-delivered on that. And I think you're an example that would say, heck yeah.
Right. Well, and I don't get anything either by telling people about it. But I feel very strongly about it. Sam has done wonders for me and my business. When I joined ACE, you know, I was doing well, but I felt like I reached a plateau and I needed to surround myself with people that could help me get to that next level.
Well, stop there a second. Okay. So you had some success on your own. And I always say that most people, I always say, I don't think it's that hard to sell $20,000 or $30,000 on Amazon. You can figure it out, right?
Right.
But if you really want to get past it to make that real income, a much, you know, stronger income, you do have to get help, right? So where would you have gone for help before pre-ACE?
You know, I always laugh too because the way I started Amazon is not the way most people. I didn't have another job when I started.
Oh, okay.
I started out of necessity. You know, I got fired, and as I was looking for a job, I started doing this just to make money. and to generate some extra income. And it just took, you know, I got it. It made sense to me. And, you know, within 6 months, I was making enough that I stopped looking for another job. And I told my wife, this is what I want to do. I said, if I put more time in this, I think we could really make this work. And within 8 months, I was making more than I'd ever made in my entire life. And so I was having great success.
Well, you created a job at that point still, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, but I did still got to the point where it's like, you know, I've taken this as far as I think I built it on pure hustle. I mean, there's nothing more motivating than waking up and saying, if I don't do this today, we don't eat, you know. And but also, I just, you know, I remember one time I was at a FedEx dropping a box off, and I was just excited to do that. And I texted my wife, Emily, and I said, I am so fulfilled doing this. I am so happy doing this. And I haven't felt this way at a job in a long time. And so I wanted to make it work. And so I was having good success. And, you know, and I was, you know, on Facebook groups. I was in that one. It's called My Silent Team, you know.
Jim Cockrum's
group. Right. And I was in WhatsApp chat groups talking with people and getting help. And, you know, and then I just saw this posted. You know, I was in Chris Green's groups, you know, maybe too many of them, but I was learning, you know, and I was reading books and I was studying materials. And as I went, like, you know, I laugh at how many things I did wrong that first year. Yeah. And so when I joined ACE, you know, and Sam and I chatted before I started, I get it. It's expensive and it was hard for me to part with that money, you know, and I thought, well, the things I could do with this inventory wise. But I really believe the money I paid has, you know, I've gotten 10 times the value. And
well, isn't it a confidence booster just knowing that you have somebody that is a call away that you can bounce an idea off of, and they have a vested interest in your success?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they have to, you know, they need you to be successful or otherwise they're out of business, right? The consulting side, right? And so, you know, to me, having that confidence boost, because I don't know about you, but I mean, is it tough to go home and talk to your wife about this business? Because she's probably like, will you stop talking about the business? I got 6 kids to take care of, and, you know, I don't want to hear it all the time, right? So you need that person to bounce something off of. And did you get that from ACE?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the Facebook group, and, you know, and like I said, Sam's influence in his team has been, you know, amazing, but I've got just as much value out of interacting with all of the experts in there, and I message them privately. I call them. It's been extremely, and it is nice to have these people to chat with. And yeah, my wife's eyes glaze over sometimes when I'm talking about ROI and you know, sales and look what I did here, you know, and she supports it and she loves you know, what this job has done for our family. But yeah, I think she gets bored with my conversations sometimes.
But she must be blown away when she sees the glow back in you, because your kids have to feel it. You know, I'm sitting here picturing you coming home jazzed, as my term I love to use, from a fine and whatever, and, you know, you get to transfer that to the kids, right? Because when they see their dad jazzed, they get jazzed. I mean, to me, I can see – now, I can't imagine 6, because that was a little overwhelming for me, but I can – I mean, to me, that's cool. To me, that's what a husband or a spouse or a wife should be. I you heard me describe it at the conference, the way you see Ivy Hawkins look in David's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's love. Right. And they're together every single day in a van with a dog. That's cool.
Right.
And to me, that's what you can bring when you come back with that glow or that, you know, that feeling. It must be incredible to see all 6 of them running. I saw the pictures of you. You were at Disney World?
Yes.
And, I mean, I could just see the joy in their eyes.
Well, and that's even a fantastic part of our journey and our story. You know, 2.5 years ago, to have even thought of doing something like this seemed foolish. And this last February, you know, we made a goal with something we want to do, a dream vacation. And for Christmas, we surprised our kids and said, we're going to Disney World. And it was a fantastic week. I mean, you know, it was Disney, so they exceeded our expectations in every way. We had a blast. It was we had what I always call several Norman Rockwell moments. You know, I remember sitting at a table in Hollywood Studios eating hamburgers with my kids, fireworks went off in the background, and I looked around and everyone's laughing and giggling and sharing their favorite parts of the day. And, you know, and I'm a pretty emotional guy. I teared up and I just said to my wife, I said, this is my Norman Rockwell moment right here. This is it. And, you know, equally as powerful for me, Stephen, you know, yeah, we had fun. Yes, my kids were thrilled to go. My wife and I had a blast as well. But it was knowing where we had been, what we had gone through to get there, and that we felt so fortunate to be able to say, look what we got to do. And
because of work, though, yeah. Because it was earned.
Absolutely.
There's something else, too. How about that? Compare what you do to a job, right? So you get paid to go in for 40 hours. And, you know, I've always heard this, that most people don't work their 40 hours. They go to work for 40 hours, but they hardly work for 40 hours. So there's part of the lack of fulfillment. Every dime you spent in Disney had to come from something you physically touched and did, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I heard the joke several times this weekend at this conference we were at, you know, talking about an entrepreneur is someone who gladly trades in working 40 hours a week to work 80 hours a week. And I would gladly, you know, it's been so fulfilling for me. And, you know, people think, oh, look how easy it's been. And I'd say, you know what, the concept of what we do is pretty simple, but it's not easy.
And, no, it's no way it's easy.
And I remember in fourth quarter where I'm running like a maniac, and because that's our, you know, that's our Super Bowl right there. And I remember, you know, not seeing my kids as much during that time and my wife, but we would text back and forth, and we had this little thing. We would hashtag text messages each other, Operation Awesome Parents, because we knew we were going to Disney World. And that was our whole thing, is that we just kept saying, it's Disney World. We're going to Disney World, but we have to do this now. So to take from Dave Ramsey, we were living like no one else, so later on we could live like no one else. And we put in the time and the work, and it was so worth it. It made it that much more enjoyable, I think.
Well, there's no way you couldn't appreciate every one of those moments, right? Because it's not just complacency. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going on another vacation. No, this was the vacation, the dream vacation.
Absolutely.
You know, you sit back and you think about, you know, did you have that? I'm going to get back into when you were working. Mm-hmm. When you came home at Christmas from the job that you weren't being fulfilled in, you didn't see that joy in everybody's eyes, right? You didn't see, and I'm sure it was a nice Christmas and everything. It's just not the same, right? I mean, it's just not even close to the same. You don't have to go back to Disney World this coming Christmas to have that same Christmas, do you?
No.
Now?
You know, and I think that one of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans, and there's a great quote in it, and the guy says, attitude reflects leadership. And for me, I'm sure my misery at my job affected my attitude with my family.
Well, it had to.
And yeah, so there, it was stressful for my wife. It was stressful on my kids, even though they didn't know why. I mean, they didn't know that we struggled financially. They didn't know these things, but I'm sure we wore it on our faces. And so it is very different to experience financial freedom or to experience something that you love doing. And even if, I tell you that the income has been great, but the lifestyle is what's been the best part for us, you know, the freedom.
And well, talk about that for a second. I want to hear about that. So, I mean, give me an example of where you've been able to take advantage of the lifestyle besides the Disney trip, because that's, you know, that's a big, giant thing. But, I mean, give me an example, you know, from a week or 2 weeks ago where lifestyle, you were fortunate to have created this lifestyle. I don't want to say lucky because there's no chance this was luck. You were fortunate enough to get to this place where you have this lifestyle. Can you give me
sure.
one?
Sure. Well, and when I say lifestyle, I don't want people to picture, you know.
Yeah, you're not smoking cigars or sipping scotch every night. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. No, we know that. But I mean, but you can get up and go when you need
right.
to.
I told somebody that. I said, I don't even use an alarm clock anymore. I don't have to. I get up because I'm excited to go work. But I love that I can set my own hours, and there are some days that I don't, go into work because there's something with my family I want to do. And my wife homeschools our kids. I get to be at home and see them and be a part of their lives. And, you know, for me, that's my most important responsibility is to pour into my kids. And so I couldn't do that as well when I was never home, you know, when I was always working. That's not to say I'm always home. I do have to go out and work, but I get to determine that. I don't miss my kids' sporting events or dance recitals. And we get to do some of the things that we've always wanted to do. We get to support meaningful projects that we wanted to support. And we get to, you know, over Christmas, we knew of a family that needed help. And for the first time in years, we weren't that family that needed help, it felt like, you know, and we got to help someone. And that's the kind of lifestyle we wanted. And we've just, we've enjoyed it so much. And we're excited to see what's next with it. So I don't know if that comes across or makes sense, but...
Oh, no, it makes sense to me. Let me ask you a personal question now. Your dad's a minister, right? How did he feel about you not leaving the ministry? Because that's a different issue. How did he feel about you in this business, this e-commerce? Was he thinking, oh, man, he's onto another. He isn't going to work out. He's going to have to get a job eventually.
You know, I don't think it bothered them that I left the ministry. My dad and I have actually been in ministry about the same period of time. He worked in the postal service. He was a postmaster for about 20 years, and then he left to fulfill a calling, and so he's been a pastor. And, you know, my parents, you're a parent, and mm-hmm. you understand the feeling that you get with your children. You know, when I look at my kids, I want them to exceed me in every way. I wish nothing but success for my kid.
And in the past, though, that always meant financially mm-hmm. and career-wise. Maybe not even career-wise. It almost always, in my family anyway, it meant financially.
Sure, sure. And that's one element of it.
Right, and that's what it is. That was my point, is that's a very small piece of it, quite frankly.
And, you know, some of my biggest cheerleaders have been my parents and my wife's mm-hmm. parents. It was scary for them, I'm sure, and... You know, and they probably didn't voice that to us. You know, they let us be adults and make those decisions. But, you know, my dad has been one of the biggest supporters. My mom and I think of my wife's, you know, my in-laws, they're very supportive and encouraging. I know they're proud. And
Where are they at now? I mean, that was where I was going. Was there some skepticism and think you're going down the wrong path, you're making a huge mistake, and now that you're on the other side of that, through grit and determination, what's their feeling now? That was where I was trying to see if it changed.
You know, and I don't know that there was a ton of skepticism, at least that was voiced to us. I think there was always fear, you know, there of how are you guys going to make it? And, you know, our intention when we started out wasn't to do this full-time. It was I was looking for a job. And I think when I made the plunge, I think there was probably some questions there, you know, made that decision, we're all in. And, you know, both sets of parents have you know, said, I know my father-in-law recently just said, it's changed who you are emotionally. He said, I can tell you're just happier. And
isn't that what he wants for his daughter?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't? And,
yeah,
you know, and so... you know, the thing I feel from my parents and Emily's parents as well is they want nothing more than their children to be in their sweet spot, to have success, to, you know, to thrive. And just as you want for your children and I want for mine, you know, I tell my boys all the time, I hope you exceed me in every way. I hope you're smarter. I hope you're better at work. I hope you're better husbands and better dads. And you want nothing more for your children. And I felt the same way from my parents and honestly from my in-laws as well, all supportive.
And so I suggest this, is that our generation, because you and I are roughly the same age or thereabouts, I suggest that our generation is going to look at this differently because I'm in the same boat. I want my two boys to be better husbands, better fathers, better sons. You know, I mean, just all those things. The money, yes, they don't need to make as much money. They need to earn an income. They don't need a job, right? And so I want them, and I think this is a great opportunity to teach them how to be that type of person. And it's much more than money. And I don't, and I'm not putting down our parents for that was what the measurement was. Now there's a lot of different ways to measure it. And I think that you're a good example of that. Mm-hmm. And that's very cool that your father-in-law, because that's a big deal to have a father-in-law affirm that you are providing for his precious daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Very cool. Okay, so what's next? What do you you just came back, or you're getting ready to go back? You're still on the road, and you're going to go back with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of stuff in your head. How do you process that big event, right? And you heard a lot of really good speakers. I mean, there's some great people there that were blew me away, and you had some conversations that were incredible, I'm sure. Fine-tuned your strategy in that. How do you take that back now and apply it in a busy household, right? Because it's not like you're going back to silence to, you know, to rethink it. You got to go back to chaos, right? Seven other people in the house is chaos. And how do you go back and put that into place, or how do you strategically put it into place? I mean, do you break it down in pieces? Can you help us with that?
Sure. I'll try here. I'm very goal-oriented. That's what drives me. I'm competitive, and by that I mean I'm competitive with myself. For me, hitting numbers goals is important because I'm just driven. You know, it's a scoreboard, it's a measurement, and it's like losing weight. You know, if you don't weigh yourself, you really don't know how you're doing, or you know, if you're not keeping score in a football game, you don't know who's winning, and you really lose your joy. So for me, it's really setting my goals. I set them really high, and you know, it doesn't discourage me if I don't hit them, but it motivates me, and I love to be able to say to people, "Yeah, that goal is ridiculous, and I met it." You know, and so I find ways to motivate myself. I think the biggest thing that separates people that have success doing this and people that don't is taking action, and that's something I'm good at. I don't waste my time. I don't hang around waiting for everything to be just right. I heard this saying years ago, and I really have tried to adopt it as mine. And instead of saying, you know, being always ready, aim, fire, is to be ready, fire, aim. Mm. And I can tweak things along the way. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. Just get out and do it and take action. And the people that I've coached and what I've talked to, you know, the biggest thing, you don't need to buy any more products. You don't need to buy any more information. You know it all. You can do this if you would just take action. And for me, this business has a great built-in motivator in that you can get confidence really fast when you sell something. I went out and bought this. I turned around and I doubled my money on it. And you know what? That gave me confidence. And I thought, well, if I can do it with one thing, let me try it with two, three, four. And then, you know, now I'm thousands of items I'm sending in and doubling my money on them sometimes, and that's a great confidence booster. And so for me, yeah, man, lots of information. I took notes. I'm gonna have to rewatch videos, you know, the presentations. You know, you had a great presentation, and I've been processing the whole concept of masterminds versus a micro network, you know, and already talked with some people there that we're going to form a micro network, and we're
don't call it a mastermind, right? Damn it! I'm going to yell at you if you do. Exactly. No, but you know what? I really hope you do take that to advantage, because there was exactly the type of people. You know, here's another piece of advice, right? So you are aggressive and goal oriented, and you're ready to rock. Make sure that the other people you meet up with are the same. Don't look for the wallflower. I mean, nothing personal. They're very nice, and want to bring them along and save them. That'd be cool when you're in a different position, but they're not going to help motivate you. And if that's what you're looking for, you want somebody else to fill in when you have those valleys, because you will have those valleys. You've had those valleys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every man has that valley. Every woman has a valley. You want that other person to help pull you up out of that valley. So I really hope that, you know, a few months from now you say, Steve, I took action on that.
Right.
And I really do. I'm really looking forward to hearing
today
that.
I took action on, you know, already today I talked with a couple people that we're going to do this, and the criteria for me was that they had a similar level of hustle.
Hustle muscles. I call them hustle muscles.
You know, some of them I'm sure are smarter than me, and they're more they've had more success. But the biggest thing for me is that they hustle, and also I want people that, you know, because there are down days in this business. I mean, as much as I try to say keep an eye on the big picture, there are days I look at my sales and I'm like, oh no, how am I going to keep doing this? And then the next day, they bounce back. I shouldn't have learned by now that you can't just look at a day. But I need people that for those weeks that I'm not finding stuff or that I'm struggling that can encourage me or kick my butt when I need it, you know.
And you know, it's interesting. You go back and listen to the Young Guns interviews. That's exactly what they do is they push each other. They jab each other again. And I remember when they said, hey, I just couldn't get out and do anything. And they're like, come on, get up. Here's your list. Go do something. And it changed the world. It changed their environment. And it just changed their whole attitude. And I hope people really got something from that and really do decide to move forward with it because it will change their life. You saw my Hustle Muscle friends that were there, a couple of them, and they inspire me. You know, I mean, it's just so cool. And again, it's such a deeper relationship. It's not just, hey, we have a call or whatever. It's, hey, my kids need this or, you know, I got this problem or whatever. And it's like, okay, here's what I would do or here can I help?
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm sure you got this vibe too, but leaving a conference like this, I'm renewed in that overall, the Amazon seller community, it's very giving, and I think we want to see each other succeed. And if you're around people that don't want to see you succeed, eliminate them from your life. I don't have time for that. And I'll tell you, that was one of the things that was just so encouraging at this event. Is I've never met so many people that seemed so interested in me succeeding. And what a,
name another business. I've not come across one.
What a great place to be.
You know, thinking about that whole group of people, doesn't it also kind of affirm your direction? Because, you know, think back to a year ago when you joined, where you were. Now look at where you are, right? And you've had that forward momentum. Mm-hmm. You look at majority of the people that stayed with you, you know, that first class, and look at the majority of them and the forward momentum that they took, that would say that you're on the right path, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And
that affirmation is so important.
Right. Very measurable business we're in, too, I think. And that helps for a person like me, at least, you know, to have those measurables, but also to have those people along the path cheering you on, you know. And then, you know, I think you've probably experienced as well, but for me, my wife is incredibly supportive and encouraging, and she knows the days I'm discouraged, and she even knows, say, Craig, look at the big picture, you know, you'll be fine, you know. So yeah, it's surrounding yourself with those kind of people, and within the Amazon seller community, that's not been real tough to do, to find those people that are going to encourage you, and also it's not been tough to find people that you don't want to spend time with.
Right. But that's every community.
Right.
And so, you know, one more piece of advice for people is I'm not saying drop down to Sam and dump that much money if that's not your thing. If you're not going to take advantage and put the time and effort into it and really use the services, because there's so much that they'll offer, but you've got to take advantage of it, right? It's a branch, but you got to grab on. And if you don't, you're not going to get it from it. So look elsewhere because there's cheaper alternatives and different style people. You might not fit in that environment. So I'm not only suggesting this is the only one, but if you're really looking forward, if you're looking to be challenged and willing to put in the work, it could be an amazing – well, I mean, you're a good – would you say it's a great opportunity for the person who wants to put in the work?
Absolutely. You get out of it what you put into it. Sure, I realize that Sam's group, the one I'm in, is not for everybody, and that's okay. You know, maybe it's some other coaching service or something that's not as expensive. It's wherever you're at, but don't be afraid to spend the money to get help, too. And
you buy time.
Right. And, you know, it was, like I said earlier, it was hard to spend that money at first, but, man, I don't regret a penny of it. You know, it was where I was at in my life. So if this isn't for you, find that area, find that person that's further along the line than you that is willing to invest. And if they want to be paid for it, pay them, you know, because you will get out of it what you put into it, for sure.
Well, how about this, too? You not only paid him, you also contribute to the group.
I try, for sure, yes.
Well, But that's what's so cool about it, because, you know, a lot of people, when they teach, they get better, right? Isn't that every time you get a little more confidence when you help somebody and they you see them having the same success you did, it kind of furthers your affirmation of, yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. I did help that person, and that helped me. And so you've contributed to the group, and I think that's a cool part of it too. And I see it. I mean, I'm fortunate to be in it, and I see it, and I look at it, and I'm like, wow, look at where these people have come so fast and so far. It's amazing to see.
It's amazing. And it's so fun to watch the success that some of the people in that group have had. And you know, it's a very pay it forward type community. And you know, and that's what I wanted to, you know, I'm like, how can I help people that have been in the same place I was? You know, and there's a great joy in that.
Well, you're back to some form of ministry. Now, I'm not going to bring religion into it, but it is that giving to get, right? You get – the more you give, the more you get, you know, enrichment, right?
Absolutely. Very cool. And, it really does. It has nothing to do with religion. You know, it's very much just – I think it's the right thing to do. And it's in our nature, you know, I believe, to help people and to, you know – I just think of the times that, you know, we've all had those moments where we needed a hand. We needed someone to help push us. And there's great satisfaction and great joy, I think, that can be collected from helping somebody.
Yeah, and it's not a money issue.
Right.
It's an enrichment issue, right? The richest man is not the wealthiest man. The richest man is the man who has that, I don't know, the right soul. That's the phrase I use. Okay, so... we got a little sappy there and didn't mean to, but it's true. You know, I mean, it really is. You give, you give, you give, you will get. So, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. So you've already said what helped you move forward, right? Give me something that you think, though, that people can come out there and they don't have to go pay Sam all that money. What could they do to help move their business forward? Especially when they hit the stuck point, because you've hit that stuck point and you got past it. What could you give us that would help somebody move their business forward?
Well, I would think, I guess for me, it's I would say just you need to, if you're stuck, you know, maybe different people get stuck for different reasons. You know, it's I think usually the two biggest things people wrestle with is capital. They don't have enough capital. And then when they get the capital, they don't have enough time, you know, and then eventually you buy that time, and then you're back to a capital situation. You know, I know Sam, who is doing tens of millions of dollars in sales, he always says that capital is an issue for them too. Always more to, you know, so when you face those things, it's, you know, look at your situation and say, okay, well, I can't get any more money at this point. And or maybe it's how do I buy more time? And so for me, you know, one of the biggest things and coming into ACE and, you know, actually one time it was just one piece of advice. And it was from Gary. Is it Baird?
Gary Baird.
Yeah. And
smart dude.
I listened to something he said and I went and looked at a product I had. And it was a product I was selling so much of. It was a great replan. And I was, you know, making a lot of money on it. And it was great. And I looked at it and I figured out a way that I could make more, and it was by turning it into variations, multi-packs. And I, you know, didn't talk with Gary again for, I don't know, a year or whatever, and then I saw him at CES, and I told him, I said, you know what, one piece of advice you gave me, I looked, and it added $90,000 in sales to my year.
That's incredible.
And then, and that's one of the things that I've really have, at least it's a skill I feel like I have, is I'm able to look at what I'm doing, and I'm able to milk that cow for all it's worth. And that's why I say, you know, if you have something that's working and you don't have a lot of capital invest, how can you improve on what you're already doing so that you can get more capital? Mm-hmm. You know, and then now I'm facing a time issue. I'm working on scaling my business, and so this year, outsource, outsource, outsource has been my theme. You know, that's how I'm going to evolve as a business, and so I'm utilizing prep centers. I'm shifting more to an online arbitrage model and more wholesale because I realized I was the ceiling on my business. You know, we weren't growing anymore because everything relied on me and the amount of time I had. And you know what? I pride myself on the hustle I give and that I feel like I can work as just as hard as anybody, but I really had been come a ceiling on my business, and I think that's what a lot of people do, and they don't realize it. And you got to get out of your own way. And so, being in a group with people like Ace or even some of the other groups I'm in, you know, you see that's how people have grown beyond themselves, is they took the plunge by hiring a VA and then hiring helpers. And so I have helpers coming in that help me pack and ship, and I have buyers that go out, and you know, they don't. I tell them what to get, and they bring it to me, and I pay them. And my parents actually help out with that too. And to clarify, I do not pay them. They won't let me pay them. But so I just have a lot of helper, you know. And it was finding, and now it's using prep centers. And so, you know, the key to scaling is really if you're limited in your finances, you're limited on your time, is figuring out, how do I do better with what I'm doing? And then how can I maybe take just a little baby step that will further my business just a little bit more? And a book that I read years ago, a couple years ago, called The Compound Effect.
Darren Hardy.
Yep. And I don't know that the concept is, you know, people will read it and be like, well, that's really simple. But it was life-changing for me. It helped me in losing weight. It helped me in my job and in different, and basically it was, you know, the whole how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time kind of thing. And that's really, it was that just take baby steps, make small changes to your business or to your life if you want to accomplish something. And after a while, those ripples in the pond get bigger and bigger. And now I'm to the point, and I think you were sitting next to me this weekend and somebody said, how do you eat an elephant? And I said, you outsource it.
Yeah, you did. You didn't say one bite at a time. Yeah, you outsourced it to somebody else.
But that's the place I'm at now, okay? You know, for a long time I was eating it one bite, but now I realized I can outsource that, and now we're going to eat that elephant a lot faster. And my business is growing because of it. And so it is a fearful thing. It is a risk, but be willing to take that risk if you want to grow your business. If you're stalled, get help, and I bet it will help your business grow.
Oh, that's really good. Best way for somebody to get in touch with you, if you would be open for a question or what have you?
Well, I recently started a Facebook, like, kind of group, and it was because I really wanted to help people, and I was getting a lot of, you know, friend requests and messages in, you know, how you do this, how you do that. And so I really enjoy doing it. So it's if you just search iFreedom, as in the letter I, like iPod or something, iFreedom, and I Facebook.com/ I can't remember.
I'll put a link to it.
Right.
So not a big deal.
And,
but iFreedom,
it's a
Facebook
private
group,
our closed group, I guess. And so if you request, I'll let you in. And that's one way. And if you'd like to private message me, that's fine as well.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll put that out there. Man, I appreciate you taking the time. I mean, I know you're still on the road. And I again, you know, I love getting to see you this weekend, but seeing you give as much effort in connecting with people rather than just taking, to me, that was very visible, very apparent, and I saw it many, many times, and I noticed it, and guess what? Other people did too, and I think that's why you're having the success, because you're giving so much to others, and I just think it's such a great story. Very cool. Can't wait to see you at next event. I wish you nothing but success that I know you'll have.
Well, thank you, Stephen, and I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time. I really appreciate what you're doing for the community, and you're in my ear all the time when I'm driving around, and so it's a real honor to get to contribute to this as well.
Now I can't talk. Very kind. Thank you so much. Take care.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Again, what a terrific guy. Going to have a terrific year. Going to have a terrific business because he's approaching it for the right reasons. You can too. You know, sit back, take stock what you love, what you don't love, outsource what you don't love. There's some things that you have to do. So get through it, suck it up, move on, and you're just going to have a great year too. Hope you enjoy the series, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.